The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, car loans have hit the highest levels on record. That's according to new data, which shows a year-on-year increase in the volume and value of car loans, with almost 20,000 of them worth a total of 259 million euro. Geraldine Herbert is motoring editor of the Sunday Independent. She's on the line, as is Paul Merriman, financial advisor and founder of Ask Paul. Good morning and welcome to you both. Paul, every day on the programme and on other programmes we're hearing about doom and gloom, inflation, people haven't a bob, but you don't borrow unless you feel confident in your financial future.
Yes, good morning, Pat. Yes, you're right. Look, we're not here to tell people not to borrow if they feel it's in their financial plan and they can afford to borrow it and they know what they're doing with their cash flow. But this is getting a little bit concerning. If you look at the car loans up 21%, personal loans up 22%, green loans, home improvement loans, general personal loans, everything's up around 20 to 25%. And I can't help but think that we may have got ourselves into a situation that coming out of COVID and being so cash rich, that we haven't kind of adjusted back to pre-COVID spending. And I know inflation is up. So yeah, it is concerning. I think especially for the cars. I was expecting more home loans. There's only, I think it was 15,000 home improvement loans. If you look from last year to this year, of an increase, which I thought would be bigger. But there again, 15,000 homes that aren't going to come onto the supply market for secondhand homes either because of the housing crisis. So I do think at this stage it is getting a little bit concerning when you see how much debt we're bringing in as a society, especially for the cars. And a lot of these are electric cars. I know Gerald didn't have a good opinion on this, but you know, the values of those electric cars, they kind of get hammered as soon as you drive out the showroom as well. So I do think it's time to take stock, maybe look a little bit more careful at this. And yeah, I'm just getting a little bit concerned at the numbers.
What is intriguing to me is that we are, according to all the stats, brilliant savers. There's so many billions, hundreds of billions in banks all around the country, not accruing very much interest. So there's a lot of savings there. So
yes,
there are people who are cash rich and not getting much interest for it. And then there are people who are having to borrow to buy a car.
Well, what's happening there, Pat, you're dead right, is that the banks are taking that money, paying very little, if not zero interest on overnight accounts especially, and taking that money and lending it out when we're here and looking at these statistics. So the banks are making a fortune here. Typically speaking, that 160-odd billion that's sitting on overnight stuff is probably older demographic, and that older demographic, I can't help but think, are not in these statistics. I'm not sure how many people will hold large amounts of deposit cash at 0% and go out and buy a car loan at 8 or 9% or go out and get a home improvement loan. So I think the savings are from an older demographic, especially when you look at the amount of savings. And I think it's the squeezed middle and people that have, you know, it's creche fees, people that have just started mortgages. People are also buying properties because the Help to Buy isn't that advantageous for first-time buyers with the value. You have to have a 500,000 valuation, say, in Dublin. A lot of people are buying second-hand properties and taking out debt straight away. And we see this on a daily basis when we're doing mortgage applications for clients. They're planning on borrowing as soon as they draw down the mortgage to do up the property because the property is in need of repair. So, like I said, I think we've got this wrong. And I think, especially after COVID, I think people may have had to adjust back to pre-COVID because you don't have that cash lying around anymore. And borrowing it is probably not the best way for the majority.
When you express surprise at the relative low level of home improvement borrowing, I mean, the answer to that question is really, find me a builder, please.
Yes, you're dead right. Yeah, you're dead right. We're seeing that with clients as well. Even when they do buy properties, they're still living in parents' houses and still renting because they can't. They're waiting 6 months and 8 months to get a builder to move in. Now, fair enough, some of those figures as well, Pat, the green loans are up as well. So the green loans will be for home improvement loans, and some of the personal loans are just for home improvement loans as well. But yeah, all in all, they're up. But yeah, they can't get builders. And also, again, this is a big issue because the cost of materials compared to 2020, again, before inflation started to get out of hand, was much lower. So if you look at the cost of extensions, added conversions, etc. They would have been much lower in 2020, 2021 compared to where we find them today. So it's been a massive inflationary pressure on people. And we hear about it every day, but when you start doing property up and you start borrowing, it becomes difficult. And actually, one big tip here for people is probably try and get a financial plan, because if you're looking at doing the property up, you can get a term loan or a personal loan off the bank over 7, 8, maybe 10 years. Interest rates are typically higher, so your repayments will be higher. Where if you put it on a mortgage, you get an equity release on your mortgage, you might get 20 or 30 years to pay it. Now, although the interest is lower, you will pay more interest because you're paying back over maybe 20 or 30 years. But it might keep your cash flow right now. So just to be very, very careful when people are borrowing, try and actually get a financial plan to look at what is the implications of extending the mortgage or getting switching the mortgage maybe to a lower rate or a fixed rate for a long period of time to give yourself some stability, and using that lower repayment. Although it will cost you more in the long run, keeping your cash flow is so important, especially if you do come towards turbulent times like maybe a redundancy or somebody gets sick. So cash flow is really important. I think this is what happened back in the Celtic Tiger when everyone lost their cash flow. We've seen what happened. So just I think this is really consumer be exceptionally aware of what you're borrowing, how it's going to impact you.
You mentioned if you can slap the extension onto the mortgage, that's great. It's the cheapest way to do it, although you pay more interest in the long run. You keep your cash flow healthy. But some people just go into overdraft if they've got an overdraft facility. How expensive is that?
Oh, the overdrafts are exceptionally expensive. And if you start missing payments on overdrafts and have to turn them into term loans, it's another problem for customers. So now, fairness, I don't see, I've done over 20,000 financial plans in the last number of years, and I don't see that many overdrafts, Pat, to be very honest with you. It's very rarely somebody comes into us with an overdraft. You might see somebody who has maybe, the odd time you see it is when somebody's maybe saving too much towards a mortgage and they're dipping into the overdraft every now and again. But when, 10, 15 years ago, overdrafts were a much bigger thing than they are today, so I don't see it that often. I think that's down to bad management. I think what people are doing now, if they're coming towards zero in the bank account, is they're reaching for easy credit. So they're paying for stuff on Klarna, they're paying for stuff, like, don't forget, these options weren't around 15, 20 years ago. Buy now, pay later wasn't readily available. So people aren't using overdrafts, they're using other financial products, whether you're using the credit card or whether you're using a term loan, because they're so easy. Like, even with Revolut now, and it's so easy to borrow money.
It's so easy, but it's not cheap, and that's the point.
No, it's not cheap at all. It's very expensive. Yeah, so the overdraft's typically way more expensive than your term loans. Drop around the credit cards are obviously the most expensive, between 15 and 24% in Ireland today. Obviously try and stay away from moving into an overdraft facility, because I think the worst thing about an overdraft, okay, the interest is very high, but the problem with the overdraft is actually the psychological battle of being in a minus by the time payday comes around. I find that's the biggest problem for people when it comes to the overdrafts. But I don't see them being that big of an issue, to be honest with you, Pat, from dealing with clients. They tend to be, anyone that's struggling to get to that kind of payday are using other financial products. It's typically they're borrowing very quickly in an online app, or they're using the buy now pay me systems.
And they're being screwed. Paul Merriman, financial advisor, founder of Aspol, thank you very much. Listening to that conversation, Geraldine Herbert. Geraldine, are you surprised that the car loan business is so busy, I suppose?
Yeah, I have to admit, Pat, I'm very surprised overall by the increase in loans, but particularly the car finance, because it's obviously the numbers are increasing at a much greater rate than the actual market. So that would indicate that consumers are borrowing more per car and that a greater proportion of all buyers are taking out loans. And it's a substantial increase at over 20%.
Okay, so cars become more expensive routinely year on year. And if you're going electric, you're probably for the same sort of model where you have comparable models, you're probably paying more for the EV than you would for the petrol or diesel.
Yeah, I think that definitely has to be making a difference. I mean, EV sales this year are up about 30% generally in terms of the first six months of last year as well. So definitely the return of strong EV volumes has made a difference to this. Obviously, more expensive vehicles overall across the board, they're creeping up. And I don't even think people notice that as much, but it is actually, even on a year basis, you can see that increase. And also, there's been a lot of aggressive financing deals, particularly on EVs, by car manufacturers. That's obviously tempting more buyers. So I think that's making a big difference. Yeah.
Now, some of the texts responding to what Paul Merriman said, electric cars, you get hammered as soon as you come out of the showrooms. Spot on, Mr. Merriman. Spot on. Is that still the case, that the secondhand value of an equivalent car, that where you have similar models, petrol, diesel and electric, that you get hammered on the secondhand value?
No, you're not getting hammered on the second-hand value, but there's still an issue. I mean, all of this was created, Pat, by uncertainty in the new car market. Car makers were reducing prices regularly, and that was having a huge impact on the second-hand market and creating a huge amount of uncertainty. The prices have stabilised. Have they stabilised to the extent of petrol and diesel? Probably, there's probably not there yet. And that market, that used market, has yet to mature. But I mean, remember, Pat, the running costs, and I know the ESB hiked up the public charging network prices only in the last week or so, but the running costs are still considerably cheaper. Yeah. So total cost of ownership is still cheaper than petrol and diesel, and people have to keep that in mind.
One listener says, I just got a loan for an electric vehicle. It cost me less than I was spending on diesel. Even factoring in the electricity for the car, I still pay less every month. It's a no-brainer to borrow money and have a new car instead of an unreliable banger. That's from one. A lot of people borrowing for fancy SUVs and taking several holidays a year abroad are the same folks whinging about the increase in the price of a pound of butter or a kilo of meat. And another one on the borrowing, most manufacturers nowadays have their own banks and offer 0% finance.
Yeah, as I said, a lot of very aggressive finance deals and very competitive deals being offered for the first few months of this year, and that would have made a big difference. And then, as Paul was talking about already, PCP is becoming, you know, the dominant form of car finance for most people, and it appeals to people because of those lower monthly payments and the fact that, you know, ideally how you do it is you don't buy the car at the end and be faced with this big balloon payment. You roll on to another PCP over 3-4 years, and that is, you know, that has allowed a lot of people get into new cars who normally would never be in the market for a new car.
All right, Gerard, thank you very much for joining us. Geraldine Herbert is motoring editor with the Sunday Independent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.